Look around you at each guy. A lot of power in the room, and lots of it gets missed and gets unnoticed because we either hold it back or we don't go and search it out in another guy. You know, there's a few of us men that actually give it away. And as I was studying for this and thinking about the mentors that I've had and thinking about even the stuff inside of me that keeps me from looking for a mentor. Let's turn in your books to page 34. The awesome, empowering impact of an older man. First point there says the vision of words. And you know, our words have a lot of power. Just like there's a lot of power in the room. Our words have a lot of power. Our words have power to give life, and they have power to give death. And we've experienced men who have given us death words. We've experienced men who've given us life words. And you know what? The older a man gets, the more powerful his power gets. Authentic manhood. And we're going to look at what mentoring looks like. It's a seasoned man. It's a man who has some experience in his life. And you don't have to necessarily be an older man to be a mentor. But you can have experiences and seasoning in your life. It's a man that's a little older, has some age. He's dealt with some things in his life. He's weathered some flaws of his own. He's looked at virtues of his own, and he spreads it around. I want us to look at this morning what kind of power you have in the lives of other men. And when I was studying this yesterday and I was thinking about the different men who've spoken into my life, and you're going to hear from some of them this morning, that really impacted me. I actually cried thinking about the power of men in other men's lives, especially thinking of some of the men who impacted my life. I remember early on, as I was a mechanic learning about cars, and one of my first jobs, my boss wasn't a believer. But I remember I knew that he liked me, and I knew he liked what I did. And he got mileage out of me because of that. He was an early mentor of mine, and we're going to unpack this. I've been at Life Ministries about almost 6.5 years. And it was in some of those early years. I remember specifically one time as a staff team, we were having some issues with each other. You'd think that a group of trained counselors could get along. But we were having some issues, and really threw me off. And I remember emailing a man that had been a mentor of mine in Canada, and he lives in British Columbia now, and I emailed him, and I just kind of laid everything out. And he sent me this email back, and he said, "Hey, why don't you call me? We'll talk this over." And I remember his words to me were powerful as we talked on the phone, and he asked me a couple key questions and gave me his perspective, and allowed me to kind of process this in a different way and move on. If it wasn't for some of his words, I think I would have handled it really bad, actually. And then later, this man, has about 30 years on me. 30 years of sense, more than I have. And then later he sends me this email. And I still have this email in my inbox 5 years later. I never deleted it. It says, "Hi, Vern and Darlene." They called me Vern up there. "Thank you for your prayer update. We sure miss both of you. Sounds like the Lord is using you and giving you lots of challenging opportunities to step out of your comfort zone and to serve Him. Let me assure you, Vern, and I can hear him say this, that I believe in you and I'm proud of who you are. Remember, courage is not the absence of fear, but the willingness to move ahead with the greater vision the Lord has given to you in the midst of your fear. And I remember that's what he was calling me to. Like, remember your calling, Vernon. We continue to do the same day in and day out as we enter our eighth year with Promise Keepers. And that's where he is. We wish we were closer and could go with both of you for a cappuccino together. Our love and prayers, Steve and Jackie. For 2 years, from September to about April, I met with this man about every other week at a coffee shop. And I had pursued him. I asked him to be my mentor. I knew that he did that. And so I paid when we went to have a cappuccino. And I'd spend an hour with him about every other week. Sometimes he'd be traveling and he wouldn't be able to make it. But most of the time, this was a man who knew me, also had walked with me through some of my brokenness as a man. Wasn't so much a counselor as invited me to be a man. And he told me some hard things. Mentors lock onto a life and take it further than it would go if you wouldn't have it. And let's unpack that a little bit. You know, as men, our dads can only take us so far. All of us have to leave our dads at some time. If not physically, we have to kind of move on with our own lives. And I believe the Spirit of God is able to use men in our lives for His purpose, to use the words, their words, to pass on life. You know, dads, as dads, we're not going to be enough to take our, we don't have everything that we need or that our boys need. Our boys need other men. I was just thinking about a year ago, I was decided I want to do a shop class for my boys, and so I asked Brandon to join and Sam's boys, Matt and Ian, and so we did this shop class. We'd work on the cars, and I'd tell them how things work, and that was one thing that I could mentor these boys in, teach them about how things work. One thing that I'm not too good at is working with wood, and I have a son that's interested in that. And so sometime I'd like to get Mark or Sam to do a shop class working with wood. Because that's one thing that if you look at things that I've made with wood, that's scary. So every son leaves his dad. And male mentors are specialists. When I was doing the manhood plan last year, there was a question, I think I might have mentioned this, but there was a question on it. What are some goals that you have in your life? And so I wrote some down, and then the next question was, whose help do you need? If these are some of my goals, whose help do I need to get there? And that's kind of the idea of a mentor. They're specialists. Some of us need financial mentors. Some of us need career mentors. I remember... I don't know if I shared this before or not, but I remember a teacher at SMBI who encouraged me to be a mechanic because of some of the things that had happened in his life. Let's look at some comments about a mentor. He's one who supports rather than competes with you. You know, as peers, sometimes we try to outdo one another. A mentor isn't there to outdo you. He's not competing with you. He's supporting you. comments about a mentor. A mentor is one who is primarily a cheerleader, not a critic. You know, as dads, sometimes it's easy, because we raised our sons, it's easy sometimes to pick at some of the negatives that we see, that we want to change. A mentor isn't a critic, he's a cheerleader. There's some times where he might need to critique us, but primarily, cheerleader. Imagine what a male cheerleader would look like. He's one who seeks to encourage the development of your gifts while seeking to protect you from costly mistakes. And that's what my mentor did, Steve. He knew what I was made of. He knew some of the heart that I had. And one of the questions he asked me, and I'm not going to go into detail about the meaning of it all, but it meant so much to me. He said, Vernon, what cross do you need to die on? And is this cross worth dying on? Basically, do you need to win this one? And I was like, no, I don't have to win this one. So he protected me. He's one who admires and delights in you because he instinctively recognizes your value and untapped potential. That's a mentor. And as we go through this morning, I'd like you to think about what are some mentors that you have had? Who are some of your mentors? And I hope, as you think through this, one of the things that I think struck me yesterday is that I don't have a mentor that I meet with regularly, an older man, and I really miss that. Some of the guys I work with, like Dan and Sam, Glenn Hoover, have been kind of unofficial mentors to me, believing in me. I can go in their offices and sit down if their door's open and talk to them. But one thing I've missed is having a mentor that's kind of outside of my circle, but who knows me and speaks into my life. Number five is he's not necessarily a close friend, but he's a close confidant. Means that this man may not be buddies, but he's safe. He's a man that you can come to and talk about life with. That's number five. Not necessarily a close friend, but he's a close confidant. Is mentoring different than discipleship? And in a way it is. Discipleship has a kind of a spiritual center, but it can be both. It can be discipleship and mentoring can be the same, but they can be different too. Discipleship has more to do with relationship with the Lord. Mentoring may not always. Mentoring ties the occasion of our lives to a bigger scope of life. I was looking through a file yesterday and came across a card. And this was from one of the board members at Life Ministries, one of the men who's pursued us as a staff and spoken life into us. And here's one of the things he said to me one time. He wrote me this card. Dear Vernon, just a note to bless you for your consistent effort to bless men for God's glory. I had coffee with a man, and he says the name, this morning. Vernon, you've impacted this man's life in a very powerful way. I know you can. And the devil will point out areas where it's fallen on deaf ears, but I want to hold up your hands by encouraging you in this honorable life mission. That's the greatest investment in life, the souls of men. Jeff Gibson said it well. If you want to plant for a year, plant grain. If you want to plant for a decade, plant trees. If you want to plant for a century, plant people. May I add, if you want to plant for eternity, plant souls. Plant them, brother. I'm rooting for you. your friend Lyndon. He's a man that pursues us as staff. Once a year, he takes us out for a meal and tries to light our fire. He's a mentor. What does a mentor bring to the table? He brings wisdom through experience. This man that was my mentor, has about 30 years on me. And I remember, especially as I was looking at counseling and getting into counseling, I remember some of the things that I was facing and my wife and I were facing. And sitting down with him and his wife was such a relief. Here was a man who walked the path ahead of me, and he could speak into life from his experience into my life in ways that made a huge impact. Another thing a mentor brings to the table is warnings. He brings warnings. He brings a belief in you. Someone who believes in you, it kind of gives you a extra oomph from behind. It cheers for your achievement. One of the men that I thought of in this congregation, sometimes my family and I have done worship. Sometimes we've done different things. And I remember John Brenneman. I think every Sunday that he's here, that my family and I have done worship, he's come up to me and said, "That was really good." Comes up to me and I don't think he's missed a Sunday. And most people wouldn't know that. He doesn't make it flowery. He doesn't do it in the front of the church. He just comes up beside you and, "That was really good, Vernon. I enjoyed those songs." Powerful. In some instances, a proven hero. We have some men in our lives, and we need to be men. Who are heroes. Let's look at some mentoring in Scripture. You guys remember the story of Moses and his father-in-law Jethro? And remember the story how Moses was leading the people out of Egypt, and I think he was partway in his journey, and he met up with his father-in-law. And his father-in-law came to observe what was going on. And here's Moses trying to deal with all these thousands of people all by himself, and he doesn't have a system. So Jethro sits him down, Exodus 18. And I like his words. "What are you really accomplishing here?" Some good questions that kind of break through. "Why are you trying to do all this alone while everyone stands around you from morning till evening?" Jethro had some wisdom to bring to Moses and asked some questions that shook him. "You're going to wear yourself out, and the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself. Come on, Moses, give your head a shake. I've been here before. You're going to burn yourself out if you try to be the only lone leader here. You're going to need some help." And Jethro laid out a plan for Moses that was incredible. It probably impacted the history of this people and how they dealt with each other. "Now listen to me and let me give you a word of advice." Sat him down, he said, "Moses, listen to me." And he laid out a plan. He said, "Moses, this is what I think you should do." Another passage I want to look at is in 1 Thessalonians. And Paul was mentoring a small group of Christians, a small church. And and he had some words. I'll just read through this. We loved you so much that we shared with you not only God's good news, but our own lives too. A mentor is a man. Paul was a man who actually invested in this group of people and shared his life, gave his life to this group. Don't you remember, dear brothers and sisters, how hard we worked among you? And you know that we treated each of you as a father treats his own children. Paul was looking at this group of people almost like his own children. They weren't his children, but that's how he looked at it. Mentors are father-like, even though they might not be your... I need to finish this here. And you know that we treated each of you as father treats his own children. We pleaded with you, encouraged you, urged you to live your lives in a way that God would consider worthy. A mentor calls men up. Paul was calling this church, the people in this church, the men in this church, to live their lives in a way that God would consider worthy. Powerful example. Other examples would be like Paul and Barnabas. And remember the story of Paul and Barnabas had taken John Mark on a trip. John Mark, halfway through, bailed out. And then the next trip, Barnabas and Paul were talking, and Paul said, I don't want to take this guy along. He's going to drag us down. We got ministry to do. We got vision. This guy left us. He's going to leave us again. And Barnabas said, I don't think that's the kind of guy that he wants to be. Let's bring him along. And they had an argument that they actually parted ways. And Barnabas took John Mark under his wing and went and did another trip. And then years later, in 2 Timothy, I think it's 2 Timothy, Paul is writing and he says, bring to me John Mark. And it was before his death, he was in prison, and he's asking for the same man that Barnabas mentored. And I wonder if John Mark would have actually still been there if Barnabas hadn't mentored him. Powerful. Ten marks of a good mentor. Let's run through those quickly. And this comes out of a book, As Iron Sharpens Iron. If you want to be a mentor, if you want to be mentored, look at this list. It's a man who clearly has what you personally need. One of the, Steve Masterson, my mentor, I saw something in him that he had that I needed. He was a dad. His children were mostly grown and away from home, and mine were little. And he could speak into my life about parenting and caring in ways that I really needed. He chooses to cultivate a relationship with you. This Steve invested time, 1 hour of every other week, and he made time for me regular. That's what makes a good mentor. He's willing to take a chance on you. Usually when we do a job or we work, what we invest in, we want to see a return. And mentors make a life investment and willing to take a chance on you. There's no guarantees. He's respected by other men. It's important you pick, if you're picking a mentor, you pick a man that's rounded. Doesn't mean he has to be round, but that he's respected in the company of other men. And he has a network of resources. He has a mentor, is a man who has a wealth to draw from, a pool to pull from. He's consulted by others. 10 marks of a good mentor. He both talks and he listens. One of the things that I feel really blessed with at Life Ministries is sometimes I just have an issue to talk about and I go and tap on Dan Beachy's door and ask him if he has a minute. He tells me if he does or not. But when he does have time, I sit down with him. And one thing about Dan, he doesn't say a lot. But he does. His silence speaks. And he talks and he listens and he draws things out that may have never been drawn out if he wouldn't have taken the time. He's consistent in his lifestyle. These are men that are well-rounded, like I was saying. He's able to diagnose your real need, and he's concerned with your interests. To take apart, like sometimes we might have issues as men, and I think I remember with the Steve and what happened early in my years at Life Ministries, he was able to diagnose my real need and cut through some of the stuff that I was bringing him. Let's look at the impact of mentoring. Every man ought to be a mentor before his life is over in one way or another. All of us guys here, we're all older than someone else. And we can all be offered life to men. For the mentor, a mentor closes the loop on a man's life cycle. Basically, what this is talking about is young men have energy, old men have wisdom. And it closes the loop. It brings the energy and the wisdom together. And also connects older and younger men in a mutually beneficial relationship. And the word, another word for that is symbiotic. It's where two organisms feed off each other. I think of Alvin Beiler, and Galen's not here this morning, but he's one guy who, in my mind, he's old and yet he stays connected with the young. And I think it's kept him alive and connected. He's not one of these disconnected, grumpy old men. He's alive. And he brings life to this church. It allows a man to teach naturally from experience, which younger men desperately need and want. The impact of mentoring. I think it gives value and worth to both old and young. It gives older men a significant purpose in the second half of life. And Robert Lewis was telling a story about a man that came to him after a seminar or a morning. And he said, he was probably in his 70s. And he said, what do I have to offer? I'm old, getting old. I'm retired. I don't hardly have anything to live for. And Robert put a bug in his ear and he said, you need to mentor some other men. And so the next morning, the next week, Robert said, how many of you men would like a mentor here? And about 10, 15 guys raised their hands. And Robert went back to that older man and he said, some young guys out here that want a mentor. I'm going to connect them with you. About a year later, he was working out. Robert Lewis was working out. And next to this old man, and a treadmill, and he was outdoing him. He had energy, he had a zest for life, because he was investing in other men. He was spilling the substance of who he was into their lives, and it brought a lot of purpose. It adds a missing satisfaction to an older man's life. So the impact of a mentor. Now I'd like to look at his protege, which means the guy who's being mentored. The impact of that. It brings a younger man hope. Mentoring brings a younger man hope. Someone that's believing in him, someone that's speaking into his life, someone that's going to look in his eyes and say, you know, you can do this. It brings a younger man wisdom. It rounds us out as younger men when we have an older man speaking into our life. It gives a bigger personal vision. And it brings a younger man encouragement. And I want to read a card. It was a man I was mentoring, and is actually the same man that Lyndon had went out for breakfast with. He sent me this card. It's a couple years ago now. It says, "Dear Vernon, I wanted to tell you I enjoyed having breakfast together the other morning. We used to do breakfast off and on. We don't do it as often right now, but and thank you for believing in me, even while I was beating myself up. You know, as I reflect back to counselor training, this is a man that had done a seminar, and he was in a small group that I was leading, and the impact that had on me. I remember writing my story and all the shame and self-contempt I had for myself, and still you believed in me. I hope I never forget the time in the room with you and Glenn, and as you prayed for me, I began to realize even though you knew so much about me, you still believed in me, and you still respected me. You truly were, as you like to say, Jesus with skin on to me that day, and many times since. You demonstrated to me in real life what Dr. Emerson is talking about in showing unconditional respect to men. I keep thinking about the power of showing respect to the men in my life who I have difficult or strained relationship with, and it feels exciting. It's one thing to think about and another thing to do it. God bless you as you do counselor training this year, your friend." The impact, and you know what? In a lot of ways, I didn't even know that I was making this kind of impact on him. In some ways I did, but it wasn't something that I as a man spent a lot of time thinking about. I was speaking into his life, and it impacted him. That's the power of a mentor. I'd like to just show a clip from Facing the Giants, and it's the spot where the coach, Grant Taylor, he's about ready to quit. He's having a hard time. His team's losing. And he's about ready to throw in the towel. So just watch this.
Revelation chapter 3 says, "We serve a God that opens doors that no one can shut, and he shuts doors that no one can open. He says, 'Behold, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know you have a little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name.' Coach Taylor, the Lord is not through with you yet. You still have an open door here. And until the Lord moves you, you're to bloom right where you're planted. I just felt led to come and tell you that today."
Mr. Bridges, you believe God told you to come tell me that?
I do.
I admit to you I have been struggling. But I've also been praying. I just don't see him at work here.
Grant, I heard a story about two farmers who desperately needed rain. And both of them prayed for rain. But only one of them went out and prepared his fields to receive it. Which one do you think trusted God to send the rain?
Well, the one who prepared his fields for it.
Which one are you? God will send the rain when he's ready. You need to prepare your field to receive it.
Powerful words of a man. And it made a huge difference in this guy's life. And as men, we need mentors. We need men who speak into our life. It made a huge difference. It's answered a prayer for this in this story. Let's look at, if you want to be a mentor, what do you do? And some of us might feel a little bit shy about this as men. What do? You make a list of your strengths and experiences you can bless a younger man's life with. This is most important. So you sit down and you make a list. What do I have to offer? And sometimes it's hard for us to think through that as men. But there's things that every one of us has to offer other men. So make a list. And in your list, you're looking at life experiences. Maybe career. What you've done in a job. It could be place you grew up. The whole mixture. Things you've experienced in your life. Determine how much time you have to give. Mentoring takes time. Investment into another man's life takes time. I didn't sit down and add up all the hours that Steve spent with me, but it was over a 2-year period, every other week. It was probably, I'm guessing, 20, 30 hours that he spent with me in those 2 years that he invested in my life. And he's the man that I went to when things were getting rattled. Pray for and choose a young man or men you want to be with and reach out to them. If you're having a hard time asking one man to mentor you, maybe you need to get a group of men together and pursue an older man to mentor you, the group of you. If you connect, initiate some regular time together until the protege has what he needs, and then let him go. If you pursue a man to mentor, and you connect, it clicks between you, initiate some regular time. Steve did every other week. And when I had what I needed, I moved down here. Steve moved to BC. He let me go. It's not a mentoring. Sometimes it's good to think of it mentoring as for a time, a span of time. Just like as dads, we want to launch our sons. That's the idea of mentorhood, is launching another man into life. If you need a mentor or lack a mentor, and my guess is there's probably a few of us in here like that, you pray for wisdom and guidance. That's a simple sentence, but I don't know about you, but when I think of that, and there's a few men that I've pursued since I'm here. Some of them have worked out and some of them haven't. And I remember one person I called, and they never got back to me. Kind of left me a little bit like, so what's up with this? And it took me a while before I asked someone again. It takes courage. Go and ask courageously. Don't get discouraged if you turn down. It shook me a little bit, and I wasn't turned down. I wasn't anything. But it takes courage to stick at it. Get a group and ask an older man to mentor us. You guys getting the picture? What mentoring looks like? I believe we all need one as men. I'd like you to write this down on the bottom of your page there as a thought. It's a poor man who goes through life without men on his inside. It's a poor man who goes through life without men on his inside. So we'll see you next week.